air and naval forces of the United States.
Homeland.
Strikes against terrorist facilities.
Ryanair Flight 103 crashed into the town of
Lockerbie.
Claire Danes. Damian Lewis. Mirena Baccarin.
Kuwait's relentless pursuit. We will make no distinction.
The USS Cole was attacked while...
David Harewood. Diego Kladenhoff. Jamie Sheridan.
The next time we're going to bring for you is one of the good old days.
David Marciano. Navid Nagapon. Jackson Pace, Morgan Saylor, and Mandy Patinkin. Grainy black and white images of the World Trade Center burning. A sign for the George Bush Center for Intelligence.
What the fuck are you doing?
I missed something once before. I can't.
It was 10 years ago.
Everyone missed something that day.
Everyone's not me.
Carrie listens on headphones. Brody looks out at Capitol Hill. A helicopter flies overhead.
Previously on Homeland.
Suicide bomber almost blew up Vice President Walden. He made a tape.
My name is Nicholas Brody.
So you want to follow Brody?
Surveillance equipment, a few good men.
And Carrie.
And Carrie.
But I'm sending you a guy.
Peter Quinn, Brody has a meeting this morning at the CIA. We want to throw him a jolt, which is you.
Hey, back here?
Yeah, in a way.
Carrie Matheson was at the CIA.
Renew the relationship. Could be useful, actually.
And I'm sorry for all you went through. I mean, fucking ECT.
Where'd you hear that?
Was it terrible?
No.
He made me.
No way. He's on his way up to his room. He's acting totally normal.
We have to go in. He's on to me.
Your work is done tonight. Get the fuck back here.
Brody opens his door to Carrie.
Oh, what is she doing?
It reeks, you know.
You still have your twisted theories about me, don't you?
Not theories anymore.
No, get out now! Get out!
You're a disgrace to your nation, Sergeant Nicholas Brody. You're a traitor and a terrorist, and now it's time you pay for that.
A bag's put over his head. Brody's sitting in a gloomy interrogation room, watching and waiting, his head uncovered again. One of his chained feet is tapping nervously on the floor. He sits at a plain table with a light shining above it. Carrie's pacing in a bare-walled corridor when a door opens.
David.
Not a word.
He walks past her to another door and enters the operations room.
The hell happened? I thought this was a surveillance operation.
It was, until Carrie took it upon herself to break cover and confront him. We had no choice but to move in.
She says Brody made her.
Did he?
No.
It's possible. I don't know, neither does he. What I do know is we've got to get Brody to tell us what he knows before Nazir's people realize he's missing.
I agree. I figure we got 24 hours tops. After that, you have to figure they go to ground or pick a new target.
And we lose our best shot at stopping an attack on America.
So, who goes in there and talks to him?
Carrie.
Are you shitting me?
She knows Brody better than anyone here. She's the only one who knows him up close and personal.
She is way too emotional. Reckless.
David considers, then Saul opens the door to Carrie. She looks at him, nods, and enters the operations room. Saul follows her and shuts the door.
I don't know what they've told you, but Brody made me, I swear. I had no choice.
Peter's gonna take a whack at him.
With all due respect, David, that's a mistake.
You can go home now.
Let her stay. She can help. She's forgotten more about Brody and Nazir than we'll ever know.
Peter nods.
But Carrie, this is Peter's show. Clear? I'll run interference on Brody's office.
Carrie and Saul are left alone together.
I should be in there, Saul.
You're lucky you're in the building.
He walks away from her. Peter goes down some steps and along a brick passageway to a closed door, which a guard on the other side opens, letting him into the interrogation room. He puts a file down on one end of the table and a laptop on the other, then sits in a chair between them, facing Brody.
You're in the custody of the Central Intelligence Agency. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
I'm a United States Congressman. You can't just kidnap me and shackle me to the fucking floor.
Actually, we can. Thanks to you and your colleagues in Congress, we have fairly broad powers to detain and interrogate.
Look, I've been down this road before. I'm not what Carrie says I am. Ask David Estes. He'll tell you.
By Carrie, you mean Carrie Matheson?
Yes.
And what exactly does she think you are?
A terrorist?
And you're not?
No, I'm not.
You should know that everything that you say in here will be used against you in your trial. You should also know that you are facing a possible death sentence.
I want a lawyer.
Well, life is full of disappointments.
I want a fucking lawyer!
Carrie's watching on a monitor in the ops room.
After your capture in 2003, you were subjected to a period of 5 years of profound and constant torture. It says here, brutally beaten, electricity, isolation, and worse. Am I getting things right so far? It is important that we're accurate. Why did the torture stop?
I'm completely off the grid here, aren't I?
Why'd the torture stop?
I don't know.
Who was Isa?
Carrie watches closely.
Isa? Isa was one of my guards. I told Carrie that already.
Was he the reason the torture stopped?
I have no idea.
Were you aware that Abu Nazir's youngest son was also named Isa?
I didn't know that, no.
You never met the boy?
No.
Were you aware that he was killed at his madrasa during an American drone strike?
I wasn't, no.
Saul looks across at Carrie.
He's setting the table with Brody's lies.
He's good.
In your debrief, you indicate that you have never met Abu Nazir, yet Carrie Matheson's addendum to your file contradicts that.
She's lying.
Why would she do that?
Because she's out of her fucking mind. Because she's obsessed with me.
Is it also a lie that while in captivity you converted to Islam?
Yes.
Do you have any idea why on the morning of December 17th, Thomas Walker shot and killed Elizabeth Gaines?
I assume it was because he was trying to kill the vice president.
So he missed?
Apparently.
The best shot in your unit.
It happens.
You want to hear my theory? My theory is Elizabeth Gaines was killed in order to instigate Secret Service protocols, which it did. Everybody was herded together into the State Department panic room without security checks. 27 of our best and brightest all crowded on in there with you, who was wearing a bomb.
Where the fuck would I get a bomb?
So you weren't wearing a bomb?
No.
You didn't know Abu Nazir's son?
No.
And you did not conspire to assassinate the vice president?
Of course I didn't.
I've got something I'd like you to watch.
Brody studies Peter, who opens up the laptop and turns it round to face him. He presses a key, and it brings up the opening image of Brody in uniform on his suicide tape.
My name is Nicholas Brody, and I'm a sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. I have a wife and two kids who I love.
I'll be right back.
By the time you've watched this, you'll have read a lot of things about me, about what I've done. That's why I wanted to explain myself, so that you'll know the truth. On May 19, 2003, as part of a two-man sniper team serving in Operation Iraqi Freedom,
I was... Let him suck on that. Loyal
to Saddam. Nicely done.
Those forces then sold me to an Al-Qaeda commander
When the tape ends, we'll let him stew for a while. No sleep.
Where I was held captive for more than 8 years.
Jessica's driving with Chris in the back seat and Dana beside her.
What hotel?
I'm not sure.
For how long?
I'm not sure.
Are you guys getting a divorce?
No, we're just giving each other some breathing room.
What does that mean?
It means we're trying very hard to work things out.
Work what out?
Problems.
Dana turns away to look out of the window. They pull up outside school as other pupils are arriving. Chris and Dana get out.
I'll see you guys at 5. It's pizza night.
They both walk away without looking back.
Is Dad really coming back?
Yeah, he's coming back.
How do you know?
Because I know, Chris.
Finn, who's sitting by the fountain, stands and walks over to meet them.
Hey.
Hi.
To Chris.
Are you okay?
He looks from her to Finn, then turns and walks away.
Broke his heart.
My mother.
What'd she do, throw away his Xbox?
No, she threw our father out of the house.
Well, my mother does that once a month. My dad sleeps in the guest wing for a week. She swears she's done with him for good. Next thing I know, they're drinking martinis and listening to My Fair Lady. My therapist says it's pretty common, but...
You have a therapist?
Had a therapist. Once.
So, I talked to Xander.
Home guy?
Yeah, well, the... former home guy. Take me out today?
Okay. How about a movie? Once Upon a Time in America is playing at DuPont Circle. Sergio Leone.
I have absolutely no idea who that is.
He was a great Italian filmmaker who specializes in widescreen agony.
Outside.
What do you mean he's not answering his phone? He has to answer his phone. He's a congressman. He can't just disappear. What about his wife? She's not answering either. Jesus.
Greg Merrilies, did I pronounce that right?
Yes.
My name's David Estes. I work for the Central Intelligence Agency.
I know who you are, sir.
Congressman Brody is helping us out on the matter of national security.
He is?
It's imperative that no one, including his family, questions his absence.
How long will he be helping you?
A few days.
A few days? That's going to be tricky. His schedule's jam-packed. Committee meetings, interviews galore. He's at the vice president's beck and call.
I think the safest thing would be to say that he has the flu. There's a nasty strain going around right now. Tell anybody who asks, he's staying at the Ashford.
Why would he be staying at the Ashford?
He and his wife are in the middle of a conjugal spat. That's actually the truth.
It is? Huh. Why don't I know that?
Just reassure her that he's fine, that his doctor has seen him, and that all will be well. Call me if there's a problem.
David gives Greg his card and walks away. Jessica gets home and shuts the door. She dials a number on her mobile as she walks through the empty house.
Hey, this is Nicholas Brody. Please leave a message.
Brody, it's me. Call me back.
She ends the call and looks up, concerned. In the interrogation room, Brody's leaning forward with one arm resting on the table, staring intently at the image of himself on the laptop screen. Carrie's watching him when Saul returns.
Listen to this.
Brody, it's me again. Please call me back. The kids are freaked. I'm freaked, to be honest. We need to talk.
She's called 3 times.
Peter's also there and glances at Carrie, then goes back to the interrogation room.
So, what do you say we start over? Who's Isaac?
Heaven is here, son.
Not your guardian?
No.
In fact, you knew Isa. He was your student. You taught him English.
Yes.
And you came to love him as if he were your own son.
Yes, I did.
He was killed in a drone strike ordered by the highest levels of government.
He was killed in a drone strike ordered by the Vice President of the United States.
Who you call the war criminal?
Because he is.
Truth is, you returned from captivity in Iraq intent on killing him.
Yes.
Which is why, on the morning of December 17th, wearing a suicide vest, you conspired to get yourself next to the Vice President in the State Department panic room.
No.
What do you mean, no?
I wasn't wearing a vest. I made a tape, that's all.
You're lying to me again.
I was fucked up. I was angry. But ask yourself what really happened.
Nothing. Nothing. Tell that to Elizabeth Gaines and the two Secret Service agents who lost their lives on the steps of the State Department.
I had nothing to do with that.
Do you really expect anyone to believe that? After watching this,
believe what you want. No bomb went off. I killed no one. You've got nothing on me. No real evidence at all.
Carrie looks unhappily at Saul.
Do you really want to do this?
What?
Peter perches on the table beside Brody.
This. Play games. Because I can play too. What do you think Jessica will say when I show her your confession?
I think she'll be glad I didn't go through with it. I think she'll understand that I was unhinged by everything that's been done to me. Everything I've been through. She's a very understanding woman.
And Dana, is she as understanding? But Chris, how old is he now?
12. What do you think the rest of their lives will look like? My dad, the jihadist murderer.
I'll take my chances. Go ahead and show them.
Peter stands up and moves behind Brody, looking down at him with his arms hanging loosely by his side.
We know Abu Nazir is going to hit us in retaliation for Israel's bombing of Iranian nuclear sites. You were part of his American terrorist cell.
No, I wasn't.
When is the strike going to occur?
I don't know.
What's the target?
I don't know.
He walks round in front of Brody and leans on the table.
What is the target?
I don't know.
Peter slams a knife blade down through Brody's left hand.
That's your little memory, you fucking asshole! Jesus fucking Christ! When do you come back? Stop, you motherfucker! You will talk to me, Brody!
Carrie and Saul watch as Brody's tended to.
We should go.
No, I'm not going anywhere.
The knife blade's pulled out, and the people standing either side of him bandage his bleeding hand. Carrie turns to face Saul.
I can do this, Saul. It's my turn.
Saul looks from Carrie to Brody, then walks out. As Brody's treated, he looks up and locks eyes with Carrie. Outside, Jessica carries a bowl of sloppy food along the pavement and into the hotel. She walks along a corridor with it.
I'm sure he isn't here.
He hasn't been around since yesterday.
I just want to see for myself.
Of course.
They go into Brody's room, but it's dark and the bed is still made. When the light comes on, Jessica looks around and finds that nothing has been touched, as if no one's even been there. She walks over to the table and looks down at a folded copy of USA Today.
Yesterday.
Hi, Betsy. Is Greg there?
What's up?
I'm at the Ashford. No Brody, no flu. I even brought him chicken noodle soup.
Not there, really? Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. So where is he?
Don't worry. I'll find him.
You do that. You tell him to come home.
Greg finishes the call and finds David's card. David's watching a presentation.
As you can see here, here and here, Israeli jets weren't able to penetrate the deeper bunkers. The Iranians hardened the roof with reinforced concrete, and then they covered it with...
Ask this.
She knows.
As the administration...
Who is this?
Greg Merrilies. Jessica Brody is all over my ass looking for her husband. She knows I'm bullshitting her.
We need a little more time.
Let me speak to Brody.
He's busy right now.
I'll wait.
I'll have him call you back.
David ends the call, and Greg looks at his phone with frustration.
Fuck.
In the interrogation room, the two men who tended to Brody's left hand pack up their things and leave. Brody lifts the hand, which is still cuffed to the table, showing a small red blood stain that's spreading across the white bandage around his palm. Carrie sits down opposite him. She watches him beneath the single white strip light hanging above them.
You broke my heart, you know.
Brody looks up.
Was that easy for you? Was that fun? Because of you, I questioned my own sanity. I had myself committed to a mental institution. I lost my job, too. I lost my place in the world. I lost everything.
I just told Estes the truth. You were harassing my family.
The truth? Bullshit. You came this close to blowing him into a million pieces. Did you tell him that?
I didn't wear a bomb.
Did you even think about me when you went to Estes?
Tell me you at least felt a
pang of regret, a teeny little sliver of guilt.
Brody's expression remains unchanged.
You said before that I'm obsessed with you. You really think that? So it's a one-way street. You have no feelings for me. Go ahead. I'm a big girl. I can take it. Come on, Brody. Look me in the eye and tell me you felt nothing up in that cabin.
I'm sorry I hurt you.
Hurt doesn't quite cover it. So did you feel anything?
Oh, for Christ's sake, Carrie, we were playing each other.
No, I wasn't. Not the whole time, anyway. I remember thinking I was exactly where I belonged.
I know what you're doing. And it's not gonna work.
Happy to be talking to you again.
He looks away from her.
Are you thirsty? Water, please.
Saul's with Peter.
What you did with the knife, losing your temper. It was all theater, wasn't it?
Every good cop needs a bad cop.
Carrie and Brody look at each other across the table as an agent comes in with a bottle of water and puts it down. She stands, picks it up, and walks round to feed it to Brody. She stops pouring, and he sits with his eyes closed as she screws the lid back on. Brody opens his eyes again, watching Carrie as she walks over to a far corner of the room.
What the fuck is she doing?
She switches off the cameras.
Just listen.
From his chair, Brody turns to look over his shoulder, following Carrie as she turns off the camera in the corner behind him.
Alone at last.
The ops room has sound only.
Here, let me get these off you.
She unlocks the handcuffs around his wrists. Brody lifts his good right hand and flexes it with relief. Then she releases the bandaged hand, and he lifts that as well, eyeing her suspiciously. Carrie sits down opposite him again, looking at ease.
Can I ask you something?
I have a choice.
You said up at the cabin that you didn't have anyone to talk to. Did you ever find anybody? A friend? A therapist?
No.
You never went back to that support group, did you?
No.
Why?
I don't know.
People always ask me about the war. Yeah. Was it as bad as everyone says? I never know what to tell them. My interpreter was burned alive and then hung from a bridge.
She looks deeply pained.
No one survives intact.
No.
Do you still have nightmares?
He averts his gaze.
Sometimes I shake uncontrollably for no reason at all. So what do you say when people ask you what it was like over there?
As little as possible.
But if they insist?
I lie. Tell them stories they want to hear.
It's the lies that undo us. It's the lies we think we need to survive. When was the last time you told the truth?
About 5 minutes ago when I said I didn't wear a bomb.
You never wore a bomb.
No.
But you did make a suicide tape. Who did you give it to?
I didn't give it to anyone. I threw it in the trash.
And yet it wound up in Beirut in a Hezbollah commander's house? See, you're drowning in lies. I'm surprised you can even keep them straight anymore.
The Wobble lied to the whole fucking world about the drone strike.
Yes, he did. But you're not like him, are you? You're not a monster.
No.
Are you sure you're not a monster, Brody?
He looks into her eyes.
I'm sure.
But Abu Nazir is. His pattern is to target innocent civilians and inflict mass casualties. Kenya, 1998, a busy marketplace. Madrid, 2004, a packed commuter train. Last spring, a department store in Amsterdam. He doesn't strike soldiers and high-ranking murderers like Walden. He kills wives and children. Dana's and Chris's and Jessica's.
He shakes his head faintly.
I know that you think that he was kind to you, that he saved you, but the truth is, He systematically pulled you apart, Brody. Piece by piece, until there was nothing left but pain. And then he relieved the pain, and he put you back together again as someone else.
His gaze is fixed on her.
He gave you a boy to love. And then that other monster, Walden, took that boy away. Between the two of them, they made your life a misery.
Carrie stares at him with a frown.
Wouldn't it be a relief to stop flying?
Brody seems on the verge of tears.
For instance, if I stopped lying, I could say to you, Brody, I want you to leave your wife and children and be with me.
Brody's stunned. She laughs.
There, I said it. I'm still alive. It feels good. Try it. Good man, Brody.
He tilts his head to one side.
You're a good man. Because you didn't explode the vest you were wearing. Right?
His eyes brimming with tears, he struggles to get the words out.
You decided not to kill those people. You decided to let Walden live. Even Walden. Dana called you, didn't she? While you were there in the panic room with Walden. She used myself. What did she say?
She asked me to come home. I said I would. And I did.
It was hearing Dana's voice that changed your mind, wasn't it?
A tear rolls down his face.
She asked you to come home, and you did. Why? Maybe because you suddenly understood that killing yourself and ruining Dana's life wouldn't bring Isa back. Maybe because you knew then how much you loved your own child. Maybe because you were just sick of death.
Her mouth quivers.
That's the Brody I'm talking to. That's the Brody that knows the difference between warfare and terrorism. That's the Brody I met up in that cabin.
She takes Brody's hand and squeezes it.
That's the Brody I fell in love with.
The fight seems to be draining out of him as they sit facing each other, holding hands across the table.
What is Abenuzir's plan?
I don't know.
But there is a plan, right? To attack America?
Saul and Peter listen attentively.
Yeah.
Saul and Peter exchange a glance.
Who does know the plan?
Roy Ahmad, maybe. I'm not sure.
Roy Ahmad? Who gave you the suicide vest?
A tailor from Gettysburg in Pennsylvania.
What's his name?
Basil something.
Is there anyone else in Nazir's network that you've had contact with?
There was Afzal Hamid. Al-Zahrani, the Saudi attaché. And Don Walker.
All dead.
All dead.
He nods, then with a weary sigh, lets himself slump over the table and rests his head. Carrie's still holding his hand. The door opens. Carrie pulls her hand away quickly and wipes tears from her face as Saul enters. Saul hands Brody his phone.
We need you to call your wife. Reassure that you're okay. That you'll be home later tonight.
At home, Jessica, Dana, and Chris are having dinner. Jessica breaks the tense silence.
When's Finn picking you up?
Soon.
Are you excited?
It's just a date, Mom.
Jessica goes to answer the phone.
Hello?
Hey, it's me.
Brody.
Just checking in. How are you?
Where have you been?
Looking for some answers.
Did you find any?
Yeah, I think so. How are the kids?
They miss their father. We need to talk, Brody.
I'll come by the house.
When?
Tonight. Jess, don't worry. We're gonna be fine.
Carrie takes in his words. Jessica hangs up.
Your father's coming home.
Sure he is.
Carrie removes the cuffs around Brody's ankles and relief washes over his face. Okay. Saul and Carrie help him up and he stumbles.
Please.
They try to support him, but he lets himself fall to the floor. Lying on his side, he curls up in the fetal position. The bandage around his hand is soaked with blood. Outside her open front door, Jessica is sitting on a step with a glass of wine, waiting in the dark. Dana walks out to join her.
Well, you look nice.
I comb my hair.
Well, then you look beautiful.
Dana sits by her side.
Did you tell Xander you're seeing Finn?
Yeah, I told him. I figured it would just be too creepy otherwise.
It would just be wrong otherwise. I'm proud of you.
It is kind of weird, though. I mean, me dating the boss's son.
It's not weird at all. Anyway, Vice President Walden isn't Dad's boss, exactly. They're colleagues.
Dana frowns slightly.
I'm sorry about all the confusion. I know your dad and I are supposed to be the grown-ups, Whatever.
Jessica takes a sip of her wine.
Dad changed over there. They did something to him.
Jessica traces a finger around Dana's ear and down her long brown hair. Finn's car pulls up, closely followed by his security detail in their car.
Here he is.
Finn climbs out and approaches.
Hi, Mrs. Brody.
Hi, Finn. Get her back safe and sound.
Yes, ma'am.
Jessica looks on as the two teenagers climb into Finn's silver car. She sits back down, and the cars pull away, leaving her looking thoughtful. Brody is still curled up on the floor of the interrogation room. Carrie enters. The door is closed behind her. She crouches down and touches Brody's shoulder. Her touch jolts him awake.
Brody, we need to go over your options.
She sits down cross-legged on the floor as he sits up and leans on his elbow.
Here's what you're facing. Trial with all the attendant publicity, followed by a long prison sentence. You'll bring dishonor and shame to yourself, the Marine Corps, the country, and your family. Or you help us, and all that goes away.
Help you how?
We send you back into the world as if nothing happened. You help us figure out what Abnuzir's plan is.
No trial.
No charges, no trial.
Jess and the kids?
They'll never know. You quit politics, move to the town of your choice, somewhere far, far away.
Immunity. You guys don't have the power to give me that.
You better hope we do.
Limping, Brody climbs the stairwell out of the basement, followed by Carrie. As they head out of the building, Saul waits in the doorway of the ops room. Once they've gone, he joins Peter, who's contemplating the evidence board. They share a look, then Peter gets to work, taking down some photos to clear some space and rearrange the documents on display. Saul follows suit. He pins a piece of paper with Roya's name onto her photo, then writes the words Gettysburg, Taylor, Basel on a sticky note. They stand back and stare at the board, having stripped it almost entirely bare. In Finn's car, Dana's gazing out of the window.
Okay.
Looking at him, she remains silent. Then a smile pulls at the corners of her mouth.
Let's have some fun.
Fun.
They stop at a red light. Finn glances in the rearview mirror at the agents in the car behind.
We're having some fun, huh?
Finn floors it, running the red light and speeding across the intersection, narrowly avoiding passing cars. The agents set off in pursuit as Finn recklessly weaves between the traffic. In a rush of excitement, Dana laughs as they speed along the street. The agents are close behind. Finn veers into a side alley and tears between the buildings. A platform on the arm of a crane hangs a few feet over the alley. Finn's car slips underneath, but the agents in their large 4x4 are forced to stop and reverse. As Finn's vehicle emerges from the alley, it slams into someone and knocks them over the car. Finn keeps driving.
Stop! Finn, stop!
Fuck!
You gotta turn around! You gotta go back there!
He brakes to a halt.
Fuck! Dana, please, if anyone finds out about this, my life is over!
Well, we at least have to call 911!
No, they can trace the call.
A car stops at the scene.
See, she's fine, Dana, okay? He's calling 911. There's nothing we can do about it.
Finn, we almost killed someone!
Dana, I'm begging you, let's just get out of here. My dad is the Vice President of the United States.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Go.
The woman looks badly injured. Carrie's driving Brody home.
I assume you've spoken to Roy about me.
She was the one who suggested I reestablish the relationship.
Good. So if she comments on your absence, just tell her you were with me.
With you?
Tell her we couldn't keep our hands off each other. The affair will be our cover going forward. If you need me for whatever reason, just call and say you miss me, and I'll do the same. We'll meet at my apartment.
With his injured hand, he reaches for hers, then shuts his eyes as they drive on through the night. They pull up on Brody's street. Carrie stops the car and turns off the headlights, whilst another vehicle pulls up behind them. Virgil's at the wheel.
So Walton just stands there and gets elected president.
He could lose.
Ebenezer will find out I'm working for you.
No, he won't. Not if we're careful.
When he does, he'll go after my family. That's how he operates.
We'll protect your family.
He looks at her uncertainly, and they hold each other's gaze. Carrie heaves a sigh. His eyes tired and red from crying, Brody unbuckles his seatbelt and climbs out. Carrie watches him as he walks away down the street towards his house. Her mind heavy, she keeps staring until he steps up his driveway and disappears behind some bushes. Somewhat reluctantly, she drives off. In his car, Virgil stays put, his gaze fixed onto Brody's house. Brody comes in through the front door. He closes the door behind him and stands in the hallway, his hand hanging by his side, wrapped up in a clean bandage. Jessica appears. He holds up his bandaged left hand.
The last time I went on a bender was when you went to the prom with Billy Birkbeck instead of me. I was 17 years old.
Where's your car?
I left it outside a bar in Fairfax. I took a cab.
How's the flu?
Greg just made that up. Don't blame him. He was just doing his job.
As she stares at him coldly, her arms crossed, he takes a couple of steps closer.
I'd like your permission to come home.
Okay. But I need the truth, Brody. That was the deal.
If you want to come back, I need to know what is going on with you. And don't give me any bullshit about Abender and Billy Birkbeck. No more secrets.
Can it wait until the morning?
No, it can't.
Okay. You're gonna think this is a little crazy, Jess. I'm working for the CIA.
The CIA?
Yeah.
Doing what?
Helping out on matters of national security.
Brody, if this is some more bullshit...
It's not. I swear to God. It's the truth. I can't tell you anymore right now. I shouldn't have told you this much already.
Dana gets home.
You're home early. What's the matter?
Nothing. What happened to you?
Hey, Dad?
Are you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Good night.
Chris hugs his dad as Dana heads to her room. Carrie returns home. She drops her bag, then walks through the darkened rooms to the kitchen. She turns on a light, opens the fridge, and grabs a bottle of white wine. She reaches into a cupboard for a glass and fills it halfway. She takes a large swig, then downs the rest. Carrie refills her glass. She puts the cork back in the bottle and takes her glass to the living room. Carrie slumps on the sofa and leans back into the cushions. Sitting alone in the semi-darkness, she takes a sip and sighs as her surroundings weigh in on her.
Ha ha ha.